From the first message, we saw an overview of the God ordained way. The second message, we saw that the God ordained way begins where? With me. With you. Right? And so we need to be revived, right? We need a revival. We need to be renewed. If we're not revived, if we're not renewed, you can forget about the God ordained way. At best, all you can do is, like Marty shared, you can have increase and spread by other methods, but it won't be something that remains. And so we need the revival and the renewing. And so in the next point we come to is, not only do we need to be revived, renewed, individually, personally, but we need to be grouped with companions, especially in twos and threes. So you wonder why is it twos and threes? Anybody know why it's twos and threes? Why do we say twos and threes? Because the Lord Jesus said, twos and threes, right? We're going to read those verses together. Can you open to Matthew 18? Chapter 18 of Matthew, and we're going to read verses 15 through 20. Amen. Maybe let's read them all together. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go reprove him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church also, let him be to you just like the Gentile and the tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly I say to you, that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. Amen. This is amazing, huh? We can have the Lord in our midst in the twos and threes. Sorry, maybe we can read the Roman numeral. Well, let's read the title of this message all together. Blending in twos and threes through prayer to bear remaining fruit. Okay, so with this title, maybe you're familiar with this word blending. If you want to really understand blending, I recommend this book here. It's called The Practical Points Concerning Blending. And so we'll see here, of course, we talk about blending in the church life, right? We need to blend. And a lot of times we use that word to mean we need to go and visit other churches, right? Visit other saints, maybe even go to another country, and you blend, right? And that's true, there is some blending. But the burden that Brother Lee has in this book he's bringing out is actually the blending is the significance of blending is actually to enter into the reality of the body of Christ. The Lord is after one thing right now, and that is his body. So even as we're considering the God-ordained way, our burden, or the Lord's burden in the increase and the spread and the truth and the life, is that he would have a body on earth. And we're endeavoring to enter into this reality. If you read this book, Brother Lee is very very sober. He says that even he himself is not sure how much he has entered into the reality of the body of Christ. And so this isn't, when we talk about entering into the reality of the body, it doesn't just merely mean coming together for church meetings, right? That doesn't necessarily mean we're entering into the reality of the body. That's why Brother Lee would say that even this was something he spoke at the near the end of his life when he was in his 90s, and he was saying that he's not sure how much he's entered into the reality of the body of Christ. So this is the burden in our blend. This is what it means when we say blending in twos and threes. It means we are endeavoring together with a small group to really enter into the body life. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that is that's the real burden behind the twos and threes. And in the twos and threes, it says through prayer, right? The main thing we do in our twos and threes is we pray. It might not be all we do, but that characterizes what we do in the twos and threes. And the purpose of our coming together is not merely to get together with one another. Although it might be, like Marty said, we'll get coffee together, we'll have lunch together. But it's not merely just to get together, but there's a purpose. The purpose is to bear remaining fruit. Oh, Lord, fill the churches with remaining fruit. So, okay, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Amen. So I don't know if you know this, but in the Gospels, there's only two places in all of the Gospels that mentions the words the church. I don't know if you knew that. The first time, and both of them are in the book of Matthew. The first time is Matthew 16:18. Remember, Peter had a revelation. He saw who Jesus was. He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, I'm paraphrasing, God has revealed this to you, the Father has revealed this to you, and I say to you that upon this rock I will build my church." So there in Matthew 16, when he says, "I will build my church," of course, he's speaking about the universal church. He doesn't have one local church on earth that is his church, right? He's talking about the church all over the globe, you know. There's only one church in the universe. This is the Lord's church. So that was in Matthew 16, was the first instance. The second is the one we just read here, where it's in the context. Actually, if you read the whole chapter of Matthew 18, I would encourage you, if you would read that whole chapter, it's the title in the outline, you know, in the Recovery Version, is Relationships in the Kingdom. And so, is that right? Let me double check that. That should be right. Yes, Relationships in the Kingdom is the whole chapter of Matthew 18. And it's a very enlightening, very sweet. All the relationships in the kingdom should be full of love. We need to become like little children, he says. We need to humble ourselves in the church life. And we need to receive one another. We should not despise one another. If one of us should start to fall away, we shouldn't just despise, say, "Oh, well, you know, it's just one, you know, I didn't like him that much anyway," or something like that. I mean, kind of joking, but anyway, I've been touched. Sometimes maybe I don't treasure the members enough, you know. We should treasure all the members. And the Lord was speaking that there, and that's the context when we read these verses like that we just read. You know, if our brother sins against you. I have to admit, the first time I read these verses, and probably for a while after I'd read this section, I thought it was kind of just, this is the procedure you go through when someone sins against you. This is the official thing. Okay, well, if he sins against you, you can go and you can tell him that he did something wrong. And if he doesn't listen to you, okay, I'll bring two or three more to prove to you did something wrong. And if you still don't listen to me, I'm going to go tell the church, and that's it for you. Right? You're a Gentile, you're a tax collector. That was my initial, I don't know why it was my reaction when I read those verses. But I was helped, I think it was about a year and a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, there was a meeting. It was actually right here, they were going over these verses, and he realized that actually the reason that we're going to a brother who sinned against us is because we want to gain him back. You know, if there's a real sin in the brother's life, that means that his faith is going to leak out. You know, if we have a hole in our conscience because of our sin, our faith will leak out, and eventually that brother, he probably will no longer be around. So the purpose in our going is not to prove that he's wrong. Our purpose is to help him to restore his fellowship with the Lord and with me and with the church. Amen. We want to gain him, right? We don't want to see anyone be lost. Actually, in the verses just prior to these ones, it refers to it's another instance where the Lord says, you know, what then if a man has 99 sheep or 100 sheep, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go seek the one who is lost? You know, so this is that same feeling. We're seeking to gain anyone who's being lost. We want to gain them back. And so the way he says to do that is actually you can go by yourself, but eventually he mentions three times, two or three. Okay? And so we're going to go through these three instances. This is a critical way for us to meet in the church life. I was gonna ask, for instance, maybe Jorge, you can tell me. Just think about this week, okay? Just consider just this last week, starting last Lord's Day. What meetings of the church have you been in? You know, or everybody can kind of think of that. Probably, what do you think? First of all, okay, last Lord's Day I went to the table meeting, right? We had the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. We had maybe a prophesying meeting, right? We had maybe Tuesday or Wednesday night, a prayer meeting. And I went to a home meeting, right? I went to a home meeting last night. Praise the Lord. So, now I have to really think, is there any more meetings that I went to, right? But actually, one of the main ways to meet is in twos and threes. This is why don't you look at the footnote on Matthew 18:20. I'm just touching on this because I think that maybe in our concept, we don't think of it as a meeting in the church. If I get together with another brother or two, gathered into the Lord's name, but that's actually one of the main ways that we should meet in the church life. So, Matthew 18:20, footnote 2. Let's see, Danny, you have it there. You want to read it nice and loud? You can read it. Go ahead.
Just the whole thing.
Yeah.
The meetings of the believers are initiated by the Lord, who calls the believers out of all persons, manners, and things that occupy them, and gathers them together into his name to enjoy the riches of his presence. Such a gathering of a few people, of two or three, implies one of the ways for the church to meet locally. Such meetings of a few people must have been held in the believers' homes, as mentioned in Acts 2:46 and 5:42, for the purpose of prayer, fellowship, the breaking of bread, teaching, or the preaching of the gospel. Many.
That's good. Okay. That's good right there. Yeah, this is one of the ways that we should meet in the church life. We don't consider that maybe in our repertoire of meetings, you know, weekly meetings, but actually this is a critical way for prayer, for shepherding, for the breaking of bread together, for the fellowship, and for the preaching of the gospel and for the teaching. So we should consider this. So maybe what you're thinking now is so Dion, what you're trying to tell me is that I have to add another meeting to my church life. Maybe you're not thinking that, but that might be something I might think if someone was up here sharing that with me. But actually, we should realize that the meeting life, the church is not just a bunch of, it shouldn't be considered as like, oh, I'm going to the meeting. Right, I'm going to this meeting, and then I'm going to another meeting, and that's what the church is. I wonder if that kind of thought, I do have that thought sometimes, but I believe that's still something that comes out of our degradation. We used to say we have to go to church, right, on Sundays. You know, I go to church on Sunday. Maybe some churches, they also have a Wednesday church service, right? So I go to church. But now we realize the church is not a building, right? So we say, no, I'm not going to the church, right? But we still think, well, I'm going to the meeting. But maybe inwardly I still think I'm going to the church, right? But actually, that's not true. You are the church. We are the church, right? And I wanted to share one verse that you probably know because we sing the song very frequently in Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, amen, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So, you know, this was shared a few years ago when we were up in Madison for the spring, we had a spring conference up there, and the brothers pointed out that it doesn't say how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to come together to meet in unity. It does not say to meet. It says to dwell in unity. So actually, the church life is actually just a corporate living together. And so this should, so in other words, so our church life should be full of what Marty said. You can call them appointments. You can call them companion time, whether it's on the phone or whether you call up and you say, hey, let's get together for lunch or for breakfast. You know, anytime I do go somewhere for lunch and for breakfast, I see plenty of worldly people, you know, whatever. They're there together with friends too, you know. It's not uncommon for people to gather together for lunch, for breakfast, for dinner. And so this is should be a very normal way for us to come together. As according to the footnote, it says this is a meeting of the church. Amen. Okay, so anyway, so let's touch on these 3 points that are in the verses we read. First, in verse 20, where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. So the first point we want to see with the twos and threes is that we need to be gathered into the Lord's name. As Daniel read from the footnote, this means we're gathered out of other things, out of other matters, out of all persons, matters, and things that occupy them. The Lord is. I love that the verse says that we are. It doesn't say that two or three gather themselves. It says that they are gathered. So this means, praise the Lord, that the Lord is helping us. The Lord is. He wants to gather us. We just have to allow him, right? Lord, gather us more and more in the twos and in the threes into his name. Of course, into his name, it means into the Lord's presence. Okay, so we're gathered out of other matters. It doesn't merely mean that we're coming together, but it means as we're coming together, we're coming out of other things, coming out of ourselves, out of our name, into the Lord's name, out of our person, into the Lord's presence. So this is the first matter, and in the Lord's presence, this is where the real fellowship is. Our fellowship, we have a fellowship, right? But our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, right? So actually, we're entering into the very fellowship, this flow of life that's in the triune God. So when we come together in the twos and threes, this is the first thing that we do. We're gathered out of everything into this fellowship. Okay, so secondly, we're actually going to go backwards in the verses. So if you don't love your Bibles too much, I would say highlight or underline each time it says two or three. So the first one we touched on was verse 20, two or three gathered into my name. Okay, so now we're going to go backwards to verse 19, and it says, truly I say to you, if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. So again, it says, if two of you are in harmony. Okay, so what are we doing? We're asking, which means we're praying, exactly. So first, we're brought into the fellowship of the triune God. And in this fellowship, we are asking the Father to do things. We are praying. So a twos and threes group is a praying group. Okay, good. And then finally, the last thing we want to point out in these verses is back in verse 16. Yeah, 16. And it says, take with you, as you're going to visit this brother, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay, so here, the twos or threes, what are they doing together? They're shepherding, right? They're shepherding together. So they're in the fellowship, they're in prayer, and the twos and threes, we do shepherding together. Okay? So this is very significant that the second time that the Lord mentions the church, three times he mentions twos or threes. So this is very critical in our church life. Let's go to Roman numeral 2 and read that point together. The particular significance of 2 and 3 in the Scriptures denotes, go ahead, witness and testimony, complement and match, partnership and companionship, mutual help and support, strength and durability. Good. So, you know, all the numbers in the Bible, well, not all the numbers, but many, many numbers in the Bible have significance when we read about them. You read about the New Jerusalem, and there's a number repeated over and over and over again. You know what number that is? 12, that's right. 12 is repeated over and over again. And so there's different ways of the significance of the number 12. I like this one that says 3 represents the triune God, Four represents man, you know, because the creation of the living thing started on the fourth day, and man is the leader of the created world. So 3 times 4 is what? So 12 is just God mingled with man, fully and completely. So anyway, that's one example of a number signifying something. Well, here we have 2 and 3, and it has these different significances. So first, witness and testimony. Many times in the Bible, not just in these two verses, it says that if you're going to testify against someone or about something, that the testimony of one man will not be received. You have to have 2 or 3 to have a true testimony or true witness to something being true. And I was considering this in my experience in the 2s and 3s. Just we're all endeavoring in this, right? And so I've been trying to practice the 2s and 3s a little bit the last couple of years. And one thing I would say in the witness concerning witness and testimony is, you know, it's witnessing and testifying is often related to an accusation, right? Somebody's accused of something, so there has to be witnesses, right, to back that up. And I don't know if you've ever experienced in yourself any accusations come up inside of you, you know, especially in the church life, right? We have little accusations, or I do. I have accusations sometimes come up in me towards one another. And sometimes I'm bothered because I'm a little offended, you know. I feel like somebody's trying to say something to me, you know. They're trying to tell me something, and I don't like that. And so there's a little accusation towards that brother. Oh, he's always trying to correct me, you know. And I'm praying to the Lord, you know. But maybe even through my prayer with the Lord, it's hard for me to let go of this. And so. In a proper way, I'd say there is, in our 2s and 3s, especially with our companion, I've done this before where I have to just open up to, especially my wife, right? You know, and I let her know, I'm just really bothered. I don't understand, why is this going on? But it's funny, a lot of times when I open those things up, it's really just an accusation inside of me. It's not the truth, right? Even if it's something that really happened, it's not a real thing. It's something of the enemy, right? Trying to come in and sow problems among us. And when I open to my wife, sometimes she doesn't see things my way. And she can correct me sometimes. Not in a helpful way. She helps me to see, actually, Dion, he's not trying to do this to you. He's caring for the body, and this is just a misunderstanding. And I have to be like, oh, yeah, that's true eventually. And so I think that's one way that the witnessing and testimony brings us back to the true things. We need our companions sometimes to help but bring us back to the truth. Forget about that accusation. It's not true. So point two is complement and match. And the verse here, Genesis 2:18, you know how that one starts? And God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Amen. Very good. It is not good, saints. In the church life, it is not good for any of us to be alone. Amen. We need a complement and a match. And we can find a complement and a match. The Lord's probably already put them around us. So a complement, what does a complement do? You know, it's like a right hand and a left hand. Or I don't know, there's lots of examples of complement. It just means we might have some strength. But actually, by having a match or a complement, that it fills up some with. I might have some weaknesses, right? And so, if I'm matched together with Jose, I might have some sort of strengths, but I have some weaknesses. But he has some other strengths, right? And probably he's stronger. I know he's stronger in some areas where I'm weak. So if we do something together, actually we complement one another, right? And we're mutually strengthened with one another. If he goes by himself to do something in the God-ordained way, and I do something by myself, actually it will not amount to as much as if we do it something together. If I try to do something by myself, I'll just, at best, produce other people with my same weakness, right? And he'll go produce others with his strengths, but with his weakness. But if we go together to visit someone, they'll get Dion and Jose. Or more specifically, they'll get Christ in Dion and Christ in Jose. They'll get the body Christ instead of the individual Christ. Amen. So point C, the partnership and companionship, mutual help and support and strength and durability, C, D, and E. We'll see all those in these. Let's read these verses that we put on here from Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And while a man may prevail against the one, the two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So in these verses, do you see the partnership and companionship? This is, I think Solomon wrote these verses, you know, and he was just kind of observing life in general in Ecclesiastes. But anyway, that was one thing he saw here was just a basic principle that two are better than one. And it says here, what a good example. If one falls and I'm by myself, I have to try to get myself back up. Have you ever fallen in the church life? Have you ever fallen? Like we were talking about this morning, all these practices in our Bible reading, in our prayer time. Maybe there were times where we were standing strong, you know, and we were praying every day, and we were feeling good. And then something happened, and I fell. And I stayed down for a few months until the next God Ordained Way conference. And then I reminded, amen, I need to pray. But wouldn't it be better if instead of having to go conference by conference, I was standing next to a companion that whole time? And yeah, I fell in my prayer, but like Marty said, maybe he asked me, my companion asked me, hey, how's your prayer life doing? And I say, oh, I've kind of fallen down, brother. And he'll say, amen, brother, let's just pray. Jose loves to say that, amen, brother, let's pray. So it's good. If we have this companion, he can pick me back up. Amen. And if once in a while Jose might fall, I can pick him back up. Amen. So this is a wonderful benefit. Like Barb was sharing, you know, there's benefit to having companions. If we go in the church life by ourselves, we'll have a certain experience. But if we're grouped together in twos and threes, our experience in the church life will be much better, much richer, much more enhanced, much more profitable to the Lord. Amen. Okay, so we can pick one another up and we can go on. Also, that's kind of similar with the mutual help and support. But also, I really like this point here. If two lie together, they keep warm. But if one, oh, sorry, but how can one be warm alone? One time I was camping with another brother, and we were up in Yosemite Park in Northern California, and it was wintertime. I don't know why we went there in the wintertime. It was very beautiful, but we camped overnight there. And anyway, it got pretty cold at night. And so early in the next morning, not too early, probably like 7 o'clock, we were there. We were sharing this one like two-man tent. But I decided to get up, and I was outside of the tent. And then later on, the brother told me, oh, man, as soon as you got out of the tent, it got so cold. I think he was actually rebuking me a little bit. It's like, man, why'd you just leave me there, right? How can one be warm alone? And so anyway, this is something I think also that can happen in our church life. If we're by ourselves, eventually we're going through situations, and we can get kind of cold sometimes, right? And so another benefit to having a companion is just, it's amazing, just him being next to you, it just keeps you warmer. Right? So this is a wonderful benefit in the twos and threes. It's just keeping us warm, and even the brother shared the verse, our spirit would keep fanning it a flame, right? Still burning day by day. Okay, and then the last point is strength and durability, and that shows that even if a man is trying to come, and it says, while a man may prevail against the one. So if the one, I'm by myself, and then a man, whoever is the man, he comes and he's attacking me. It's probably the devil, right? The devil's always coming and attacking us. And if we're by ourselves, it says we might lose, you know. The man might prevail against us. But I love, this is a good promise, but the two will withstand him. The two will withstand the enemy. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So anyway, so the twos and threes, there's not a whole lot of portions in the Word that talk about twos and threes. So these are, it's very significant to see these verses. So lastly, let's go on. We need to see how is it? I don't know what your guys' experience has been, if you're still not sure how to enter into the twos and threes, or maybe some of you have entered into the twos and threes, but you've also had some problems. So we'll see some helps in the next point here. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. We must practice fellowshipping, interceding, mutually caring for one another, shepherding, and fruit-bearing. So just on that point, I like to point out that I like that phrase, we must practice. So that's what we're all just doing here, right? We're just learning from one another so that we can keep practicing. You know what happens when you practice? You get better. I guarantee you, the more we practice this, we'll get better and better at the twos and threes, at the shepherding, at the carrying out of the God-ordained way. Okay, and so let's read point A all together. Our coming together in small groups, twos, abundant supply, to overcome our natural man and to crush Satan. Good. So as we're going to come together in the small groups, there is something we have to overcome. It's actually ourself. It's right inside of us. On top of all the other situations outside of us, this is probably one of the hardest ones to deal with. Okay? But there's good news. We have a supply, right? An abundant supply from the Lord to overcome our natural man. Ephesians 1:19, I'll read to you. And it's talking, Paul is saying, he's praying for the Ephesians that they may know what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the operation of the might of his strength. And then in verse 20 says, which he caused to operate in raising Christ from the dead. So this very power that was operating in Christ to raise him from the dead is toward you. It's toward me. That same resurrection power is toward you so that you can be grouped together in the twos and threes. Amen. So that you can overcome your individualism. You can overcome your natural man with all the opinions. We can be rescued by that, by the resurrection power in our spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord, our natural man, it brings in... Eventually, we can try the twos and threes, but even if you do somehow work it out, if you're still in your natural man, eventually... I just wrote down four things that I have experienced and it can come into any of these twos and threes. Is offense, irritation, misunderstanding, and just weakness. Okay, maybe we want to have the twos and threes, right? Oh, we want to have the twos and threes. And I have a brother. I've been trying to have twos and three prayer, me and him, just two of us, prayer time together with on the phone. And actually, we were doing it for quite a while. About once a week, we were pretty steady. It always took a little turn, though, right? You have to deny yourself to actually pray with someone on the phone. And so eventually, we went through a period where I was just so tired. And I didn't see, he wasn't calling me, but I was about to call him. But I said, well, maybe I won't call him, but if he calls me, then I'll pray. Then I'll pray together with him. And I think he did call, you know, and we did pray. But then there were other times where I said the same thing and he didn't call. And then we saw each other later that week. Oh, sorry, I missed our prayer time. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry too, you know. We'll do better next week. Yeah, we'll do better next week. But sure enough, next week I was really tired again. And so I said, well, if he calls, I'll pray with him. But then he didn't call again. And eventually, something that we'd worked for like a year to build up, it was dormant for I think another month or two. And it's funny that I would say that was an experience of weakness, not being empowered, you know, in this strength, you know. I had Christ's resurrection power ready to come into me, but I didn't apply it at all. I didn't believe, you know, that it's really there. All I believed was that I'm really tired. That's all I believed. I didn't exercise my faith in the true things. I didn't exercise my spirit. And so because of that, I was weakened. And our prayer life eventually dwindled. And eventually, even some other misunderstandings come in. And eventually, some irritation and a little offense comes in. And now, we have to start all over. And so anyway, that really did happen with me, and it was, anyway, but the Lord, he's still there. He wants to, what is the word here? Oh yeah, he's restoring us. He is there to restore all these links. So I'm just sharing a little bit. I don't mean to share my bad experiences like Marty said. I'm not trying to discourage. I'm just trying to show that this is something that might happen in all of us, but we shouldn't just give up because that happens. I'm not giving up. I still want the Lord to work it out. And this is going to be a real fight, saints. This is actually what we're talking about here is the real building up of the body of Christ. And this, for sure, it's the hardest thing to recover on the earth is the reality of the body of Christ. And so we are going to have to fight. And actually, this brother and I, we did restore our prayer, praise the Lord. And now we can crush Satan under our feet. Amen. So the last point is point B. It says, practicing, when it says this releases us, I mean the practice of fellowshipping, interceding, mutual care. It releases us from our burdens. And it restores our capacity for fruit bearing. How many here have the capacity for fruit bearing? Oh, I only see about 12 hands raised up. How many here are branches in the vine? Oh, yeah, okay, good. So we're all branches in the vine. Does that mean we have the capacity? Yes, we have the capacity to bear fruit. Amen. But then there's a problem, is that as branches, we get burdened with other things. It's normal. It's just human life. We have family issues. We have job issues. We have unforeseen things that come in and totally rob us of a lot of our time and energy, right? Okay, so most of these are just normal things that happen to everyone in human life, right? But the truth is, a lot of time, this limits and diminishes our capacity for bearing fruit. You know, how am I supposed to go and preach the gospel when I'm so worried about, you know, my job? You know, I don't have a job right now. You want me to go preach the gospel, but I'm trying to bear this. So I'm finding a little part-time work here, and I'm finding a little part-time work here. But I'm bearing it in myself, though. I'm trying my best, but I don't have time to go preach the gospel. Right? I hardly even have a heart to care for other people. I'm too busy taking care of this situation. Well, the amazing thing, I don't know, this is divine mathematics, but when we come together, I've got issues that are burdening me. Jose has issues burdening him. He's got 3 girls, right? A lot of issues. And it's amazing. We both have burdens. And maybe, I think a lot of times in the church life, we do a decent job of bearing our own burdens, right? I'm getting by, right? I'm getting by in life and in the church life. I'm not bearing a lot of fruit, but hey, I'm still here. I'm still here, right? Well, this amazing thing. So we all have these burdens, but when we come together, and this is actually not easy to do, but talked about in Matthew 18, you know, in the fellowship of the triune God, gathered into the Lord's name, eventually I say, Jose, I need to tell you, I'm worried about, you know, my wife. She's about to go back to school. We don't know where she's going to get into school. We might have to move. This is not true. We already know where she's going, but this was true a few months ago, and we didn't know. And, you know, when you have those question marks in your life, even those question marks can be a burden. You're just like, I don't know what's going to happen. And so I open that up to Jose, and he says, oh, brother, okay, well, let's pray, you know, right? And so as we pray, that burden gets lifted off of me, right? And then he opens up, well, brother, I've got a few burdens. And he says something, you know, something's going on with his daughter or something. And we pray together, and that burden is lifted off of him. So actually, when these burdens are lifted off of us, guess what happens? It restores our capacity. It restores our heart to care for the things of God and to carry out the God-ordained way, right? Now I start to care about that coworker that I know hasn't been saved yet, right? I start to care about that, and so I also say, oh, that reminds me, now that I don't feel so bad about the future, that reminds me, my wife's got a coworker she's burdened for. Can we pray for her too? Yes, brother, we can pray for her. Right? And we start, the Lord starts to flow in our prayer. Anyway, so this is amazing. This is, if Brother Menorah was sharing, that if we really enter into the twos or threes, that the God-ordained way will explode. And I believe that's true. If all of us, we practice, we're endeavoring, let's say for this next year, we're all practicing and endeavoring in the God-ordained way, especially this matter of twos and threes. The church will not be the same next year. will be full of more fruit, remaining fruit. So anyway, Brother Jose is going to continue with this matter of bearing fruit. Amen.
We start first singing the hymn number 921. Sentimientos tan aplastados por el tentador, de nuevo vibrarán las cuerdas rotas al ser tocadas por tan gran amor. Y al perdido, al ser caído, con compasión Jesús nos salvará. Es el encargo para la obra, da fuerza al Señor, tráelos a la verdad con fe y paciencia, dile al errante que Cristo murió, y al perdido, al ser caído, con compasión Jesús los salvará. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus is merciful.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
This meeting is very, very encouraged for us.
Amen.
The reason is I speak aloud. I speak so loud. Sometimes I speak so loud. The reason we are gathering tonight, this afternoon, the reason is encourage one another. It's like, you know, during the week we enjoy with Diane. Really, really this week I practice 2 and 3 with my brother. And really I'm very enlightened for the fellowship and very encouraged for the pray. Pray for one another, enjoy the work and one another.
Amen.
You know, enter in the truth. Enter in the truth, bring life for us.
Amen.
But really, it's like the doctor appointment today. You know, all of us, we are sick. We need to come to the doctor, maybe not often, but we need to visit him.
Yeah.
For what? The doctor, he want to say, what is your problem, Jose? I want to tell what is your problem. This afternoon, we need to come to the Lord, and the Lord really say, this is our problem. This is, we know we are weak in many, many matters. We are very, you know, short. This is maybe the right word. We are short in one leg. George Magaña, he say, I don't have a leg. I fail in everything, in the truth, in life, in the increase, in the spread. Sometimes we feel in that way. This is the reason we need two centuries. But if you see the sequence of the message, is very, very important. It's the same view in the conference in Tecumseh, in Indiana. You know, we need to see the vision. When we see the vision, we can pray for the God burden. After we pray, two centuries, in a small group, in the home meetings, in the prayer meeting of the church, we need to do something. We need to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to go. But this is not in the natural way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to go in the God-ordained way. Amen. God have an ordained way. Where we find this way, the brother sharing, and I repeat, in His Word, amen, in the Bible, amen, we more often come to read the Bible, enjoy the Bible, enjoy the truth, enjoy the riches of Christ here. We can feel more burden. We can get more burden for go out. Amen. I want to ask you for some practice. I want to practice with you together. We pray, read some verse together in two centuries. But I ask to you if you can stand up and enjoy for 1 minute this verse. But not in the way they only repeat the verse. In the way they infuse the word. Amen. You need to say, Dan, you are the priest. Amen. You need to go. Amen. In the way and encourage one another. We need to read Romans 15, 16. Romans 15, 16. We can stand up and we can enjoy two centuries for 1 minute. Romans 15, 16. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we read the title, we can read the title together. Amen. Exercise our priestly service as we preach the gospel by visiting people. Amen. Exercise. We need to exercise. We need to exercise our spirit. This is the reason we pray and read the word in that way. And when we read in that way, we can see many, many aspects. And this is where we see a laboring priest of the gospel of God. Laboring priest of the gospel of God. 1 point. Amen? In order for what? For offering of the Gentiles. You know, we need to offer in something. The word is acceptable sacrifice to God. Amen?
Amen.
Don't forget, we're going to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. The word say, we can read all together. 1 Peter 2, 5. You yourselves also, as living stone, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living stones, but also we are holy priesthood.
Amen.
No individual. God today is looking for the priesthood. Diane asked, who is available or who is who have this capacity? The branches? All we are the branches. All we as priests,
amen.
We are the priesthood.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are, all of us, each one. It's not only for some brothers, you know. It's for all of us. Brothers, sisters, young ones, older one, middle one. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I want to read, Josh. You can read the footnote in first. The footnote is 5A. We need to understand what is this sacrifice.
Where is it?
5A.
5A. Right here.
Yeah.
Right. The spiritual sacrifices that the believers offer in the New Testament age, according to God's economy, are: Christ is the reality of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament types, such as the burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, and trespass offering. The sinners saved by our gospel preaching, offered as members of Christ, and our body, our praises, and the things that we do for God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The first we know, all of us we know, is Christ. This is the real sacrifice. But in the second is the sinners. Amen. The second, the sinners saved by our gospel preaching, offer us as members of Christ.
Amen.
And the three is our body, our praises, and the thing that we do for God.
Amen.
Amen. You know, our vision is we are the priesthood. We need to offer sacrifice to God, acceptable to God. What is this? Hallelujah, the sinners.
Amen.
How? We need to preach the gospel to them.
Amen.
We need to go out. We can read the Roman number 1. Our commission. Go and disciple all the nations. We come and the Lord send us. Hallelujah. This is our commission. But also our commission is more deep than the Christianity only see in this commission. It's not only go to preach the gospel, you know, for save, preach the gospel to people for they can be saved. No, it's for carry out the God's economy. They need to be saved. They need to come into the church. They need to grow in life into the home meetings, in the conference. Oh, Lord Jesus, and the body is built until the new Jerusalem. This is the vision why we go out. Amen? We can read Romans 2 together. Letter A and B also, please. And B, to prepare. This will bring in the Spirit. Amen. One of the points in the ministry here is we need to love the world. We need to love the people. You know, it's easy to love the brothers. I love really Brother Mali. I love the saints. But also I need to love the world. Co-workers, you know, classmates, relatives, Lord Jesus. The spirit of the gospel is the power for go out. This morning, you know, everybody know, is earthquake in Chile. And I start receive a lot of phone calls. But my point is, the Lord is very wise. The Lord is wonderful. You know, I told Diane, like a farmer. The farmer need for soil the seed. He need to remove the land, the rock, but the land. And he used these tools, plow. Plow? He need to use the plow for remove the land. Today the Lord removed the land, not only in Chile. If you read, it's in South America. Ecuador, Peru, Argentina, Chile, and other countries. It's very interesting, you know. Why the Lord removed? Why the Lord produced suffering? For the people is ready, but somebody need to go and preach the gospel. Many people today is suffering. They need somebody. Somebody. They need to listen to the gospel. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. All the situations, saints, in our daily living is for one reason. Hallelujah. The Lord loved the world. We need to love the world. We need to love the people around us. You know, I can go to Chile now. Only I can pray. Amen. But I know the Lord. Amen. Send other ones. Amen. For contact the people there. Amen. And preach the gospel to them. Amen. And they can be saved. Amen. But not only this. We are not for this. We are for the build of the body of Christ. Amen. We are for only one ministry. Build the body of Christ. Amen. This is the church. This is our burden. We are not like here, like Christianity. We want to build one another in love, in truth, in life. For what? For increase the body. For enlarge this corporate Christ to every city, to every village. Hallelujah. This This is our view, saints. This is our burden today. Encourage one another. Glen Ellen, Waukegan, Palatine, Stringer, Chicago, Oakland. Spread the word. For what? For increase the body of Christ. For the people come to the full knowledge of Christ. Full enjoyment of the body. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we need to love the people. We can read Romans 3. All the point, A, B, C, and D. Hallelujah. I ask you again, stand up, and we pray, read the verse in Acts 1a. Acts 1a. We pray, read together. Twos and threes. Stand up, please. Stand up. We want to exercise.
Amen.
Our spirit. Enjoy with the saints next to you. Acts 1a.
Let's just read it all together.
Amen. And to the othermost part of the earth. Tierra del Fuego. The othermost part of the earth is Tierra del Fuego. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, you don't feel in sharp for the Lord? Yes. When we enjoy the Lord, Brother Lee say two words is very important in the Bible. One is come, and the other word is go. I want to read a portion from the ministry. It's better than my speaking. In the New Testament, the primary matter is to come to the Lord and to come to Him continually.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
We need to come to Him.
Amen.
Then, after coming to Him to touch Him, He will tell us to go. It's not only come to the Lord and say goodbye. No, this is not a way of we have fellowship. Also, in the human relationship, you know, I have fellowship with Jan and he wants to respond and I give the, no, this is not the right way. It's to listen to Him. What is His burden? The Lord, when we come to the Lord, all the time He say, go. Brother Lee say this is his experience. The more we come to him, the more he will travel us to go. It may be that he will travel us to go to another country or to go to our parents. My experience is that almost without exception, whenever I come to the Lord, he always sharks me to go. I think this is also our experience. More we come to the Lord all the time, he say, go, go. I read one portion, he say, the Lord encharged him for preach the gospel in his village. And he reject this speaking. And he say, 8 years, 8 years. Past this situation, he reject his the Lord speaking, but one day the Lord come again to him, preach the gospel in your village. and he go preach the gospel, and he say, in that moment I feel so happy. This is the point in the spirit of the gospel, when we to listen the Lord. When we do what the Lord wants, we feel satisfied. Amen. We feel happy. We feel full of enjoyment. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. The Lord brings this experience to us.
Amen.
We read Romans 4. When we shall go, A and B. We can read A again, emphasis in now. Hallelujah. Now, saints, is the acceptable time. Brother Jim Risky.
Ahora.
You know, Brother Jim all the time. No, not all the time, but, you know, he told me in Spanish, mañana, tomorrow. It's now. But like the brother sharing in the other message, how affect the God-ordained way our culture, our, you know, peculiarities? How much affect the God-ordained way? This is the reason we need to come to the Lord and fellowship with him. For he enlightened us and show me I need to be transformed. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I need you more and more.
Amen.
I need enjoy your word.
Amen.
I need enter in the reality of Christ.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
The Lord is so sweet.
Amen.
Until today, you know, this opportunity is wonderful for us. Review again and again. Receive his word for what? For repent.
Amen.
Turn our mind.
Amen.
And come to practice this word.
Amen.
Brother Mari, really wonderful picture, the two legs. You know, and all the table, I think we are in the same way. We don't have the leg, the left leg. We are short in this leg. Increase and spread. We are really sure. All of us. This is the reason we are here. For encourage one another.
Amen.
Jorge, we need to go.
Amen.
But first, we need to pray. We need to have fellowship. We need to coordinate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Roman number 5.
Go with a
This point is very practical. How we go, no? How we shall go. One of the practices more hard for us is knocking door. This is the more hard practice for us. I think our face is in trouble. I have some experience. But the point is here, you know, we need to encourage. In this fellowship, we need to encourage. This is the reason the two and threes is very important. You know, we come to the fellowship, we coordinate, and we go. Knocking doors, one way. We have also, you know, go with your time weekly. Brother Lee say, Lord Jesus, I don't put here, I think I put one now. But he say, it's very important, 1 or 2 times a week, we need to go out for contact others. You know, I heard the brothers use the word hot doors or warm. The other hat is more closed. Warm doors. But also we have the cold doors. For this reason, we need to pray. We need to fellowship. We need to coordinate. Maybe one day I pick up my brother Howard, you know, and brother Josh, and go together in teams. Team, the three peoples. It's wonderful. All of us, we can go. All of us, we can go. Amen? Also, we can use tracts, Bibles. I know many localities, Palatine, Glen Ellen, some part of Waukegan, they go to distribution of the Bible. Chicago, mainly, you know. But not only for campus. This is my point. Not only for the students. The other day, I think, why we can go to the Home Depot or Kmart or the store, Tony store, and ask to the manager, you know, for some, we want to put the table. We want to release the truth, release the riches of Christ. But we need the saints. We need you. We need you, you know. This is one of, we have a lot of ways, saints, a lot of ways. And also the radio program. I mentioned the radio program is very wonderful, the labor of the saints. You know, sometimes you knock door and the people look between the window and the curtain. Oh, no, the Jehovah's Witness. They don't open the door. But they listen to the radio, 9:30, but 9 p.m., and they listen, oh, the radio program. And maybe somebody can call. And maybe the same visit them. You know, the Lord have a different ways. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is wonderful. Amen. We need to encourage one another. Amen. For go out with the riches of Christ. Amen. Saints, don't feel afraid. Be boldness, fellowship, coordination. And one point is, I think, one of the most important. We need to love the people. We need to the real spirit of the gospel.